you like this episode, please subscribe, share with others, rate and review so we can continue to bring you great programming.
This is The Thing About Cars, a podcast for car enthusiasts and the people who love them.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Thing About Cars. I'm Mickey, your host, one of your hosts. Around the table, we've got Dave. How are you, Dave?
I am well, Mickey. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'm glad we could do this. Our good friend Mary is joining us. Mary, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
Excellent. Ben, how are you, Ben?
Hey, I'm all right. How about you?
I'm fantastic. And our special guest for the day, Fred. Fred, how are you?
I'm having a great day. I'm excited to be here, guys.
Absolutely. And Nick, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Yeah. Fred and Nick, I met them on Reddit, of all places, and they were looking for guests for their own podcast for automotive purposes called Full Circle Podcast. Did I get that right, you guys?
Yes, you did. Yeah, I'll let Nick kind of answer the questions for the start so we don't jumble it up.
But yeah, Full Circle with Nick and Fred.
Got it. Full Circle with Nick and Fred. I'm going to ask you some more about that in a second. First, let's do our grand trivia auto question for the episode. We always ask a question at the top of the episode and answer it at the end. So the question for today, provided by our car trivia czar, Tim Rogers. Tim says, on the current generation of the Honda Accord, there's an open section in the grill, the front grill. In the middle of that void, there is a rectangular unit, which is part of a Honda sensing thing that can do which of the following functions? And there are six choices here. It can do which of the following? Is it related to adaptive cruise control with low speed following, meaning that it helps maintain a constant vehicle speed and setting a following interval behind the vehicle in front of it detected ahead of yours? And if that vehicle comes to a stop, it'll help you stop. Choice B, is it a lane keeping assist system providing steering input to help keep the vehicle in the middle of a detected lane and provides tactile and visual alerts if the vehicle is detected drifting out of its lane? C, is it a traffic sign recognition system reminding you of road sign information such as the current speed limit and when overtaking is prohibited? D, is it a road departure mitigation system helping you stay on the road in case you're crossing over a detected lane marker? E, this is the last one, full one, is it a collision mitigation braking system, meaning that it'll help you avoid a collision with the vehicle or a pedestrian detected in front of you? Or F, is it all of the above?
I would just like to go on record as saying my master's thesis doesn't have that many words in it.
Yeah.
You guys need me to read those choices again?
Do we have time?
We have time. I'll go in real quick. That rectangular thing in the grill of current red generation Honda Accords, is it related to adaptive cruise control to help you with speed and following the car in front of you? Is it a lane assist keeping you centered in your lane? Is it a traffic sign recognition system telling you things about speed limits and whether or not you can pass? Is it a road departure mitigation system? Is it a collision mitigation system? Or is it all of the above? We will answer that at the end of the show. For now, let's turn back to our guests, Fred and Nick. You guys are doing okay. What part of the country or the world are you in?
I'm from Connecticut, so we have a hurricane that is about to hit us soon for the first time in 30 years. So
wow,
yeah. So preparing for that. So I'm happy we got to do this before it comes and hits and takes out my power, probably.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't happen. Fred, where are you?
I'm originally from Connecticut as well, but I moved down to like North Carolina, Virginia. So right now, currently, I'm in Virginia Beach, Chesapeake area at the moment.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. Nick, what do you have to do for hurricane prep? Anything in particular?
Not really, because I live out on a field, so I just gotta make sure everything's like inside so it doesn't blow away. Because when I was younger, we used to have a trampoline, and one time during a windstorm, it actually flew over in the neighbor's pool.
Yeah, so that's no fun. Yeah. That's absolutely no fun. Please tell us about Full Circle with Fred and Nick. How did you guys come up with this concept? What do you guys talk about? Give us the whole rundown, please.
Well, I'll take the jump on this one. First of all, guys, take Nick's hurricane with a grain of salt. It's New England. So it's like a depression by the time it gets there. They just have a lot of trees. So it's not like he's getting nailed like New Orleans or something like that. But just throwing that out there. No, we started Full Circle. One of our friends suggested it. Nick talks way too much. So they were like, we need to get him an avenue. And I was all about that. So we started, our friends gave us some ideas on websites and tools to use. And we just kind of ran with things we'd seen, thoughts throughout the day, just kind of a random hodgepodge of stuff. And we just kind of, you know, keeps us in contact because we're now not in the same state. We're not as neighborly as we used to be. But we just kind of talk about the differences, north and south, things we see, experiences. And we do a little like gag segments, like fake ads where we make up products and talk about it. And we, and Nick does a fun fact for like trivia goers, stuff like that. So we try to incorporate new things, but it's just, it's goofy. And we're about, I think, 60 episodes now, Nick, is that right?
Yeah, I think 60 was the last one.
That's cool.
Yeah, we really enjoy doing it. And we do it, it comes out every Thursday morning. We usually record it on Wednesday nights if all goes well. But yeah, it's a blast to do it. We got our friend Matt involved now. We get a few more people hopping on board. And it's just a great outlet. We really enjoy doing it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I would like to point out that among the cast, the thing about Cars, we've never taken to hurricane shaming each other, and I think I'm embarrassed.
You'll get there. It comes with time. It's
in my defense, it is going to be a Category 1 when it hits us. That's why it's a big deal. That's all.
Oh, okay. I'll give him that. I'll give him a Cat 1. That's fine.
And in my defense, personally, me, not for the thing about Cars, I would never shame anybody for their storm prep. I think that you got to do what you got to do and stay safe. And I hope nothing bad happens. Specifically, especially with trampolines, that stuff's the worst.
That said, I have a friend in Colorado who I heard there was going to be a tornado out his way, and he said, "Hey, nothing to worry about. Tornadoes out here are like a fart in a paper bag."
See, that's something I didn't want to think about today, Ben.
Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. That's good. So so Fred and Nick, full circle with Fred and Nick, is not specifically about automotive stuff. It's just a wider swath of content than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a, like I said, very general. We kind of dabble on things. We've talked about, I think we did talk about like the Tesla ones, because I've had a chance, opportunity to test drive it. So like me and Nick have talked about that. Nick actually has, Nick, what year is your old Porsche again?
I have a 1983 Porsche 944.
So we've driven that around, and he has no power steering. We talk about that. my grandfather used to race local, like oval racing in New England. So I'm very exposed to like American muscle, like Chevy, Ford, Dodge, stuff like that. So we kind of dabble with that kind of stuff when it comes up, but we don't really have too much of a focus on it. So that's why we were excited to come out today and kind of see what your guys' thoughts were and how we can throw some stuff at you.
That's cool. I have one last question before we get into the car thing. You guys said you invent fictional products and make fun of them. How do you, what's your favorite one been so far?
Nick, I'll let you take that one.
What's my favorite one been? I mean, I think maybe it was the first one, just because it just came off the top of my head. That was my favorite one. I think that might've been the funniest. It was just basically, it wasn't even a fictional product. It was just me just saying like, "Hey, you're tired of walking. Why don't you just use a wheelchair?" And that's basically the product.
We do a lot of random stuff. I think we made up things like Nick complains how I chew loud. So I think there was like the Chew Silencer 3000 or something that was guaranteed to reduce chew noise by 70%. So we just kind of do these goofy little things and just kind of roll with it. But whatever pops into mind.
I wonder if I can get one of those for my personality.
I can do one for Cars if you really want to get crazy.
Mary, you got any questions for our guests before I get into this?
So you just decided you wanted to do a podcast. How did you decide that was the avenue for this particular outlet?
A few of our friends had given us ideas on what kind of to go around. And I mean, I have a face for radio, but I don't know anybody in radio. So this was the next best option. It was cost effective, and it was just something that we could do, and kind of it's flexible. So we could change the day of the week. We could change how many times we were doing it. And, you know, we could kind of promote it on our own segment and on our own fashion. So we really enjoyed doing it. And it was just something that we kind of started as like, let's see what happens. We were hoping we'd get one listen outside of our own, because I know I listen to each one. But yeah, it kind of took off. I mean, for us, I think 30, 40 listens an episode is what we're at. And that's a big deal for us. But you know, just two hometown kids just having fun, and we enjoy doing it, and anybody's willing to listen.
Hey, that's the way to do it. That's great. Yeah. So I've got to describe the way we met, and that sort of segues into the next piece, which is Nick put something out on Reddit that said, I want to have some help pranking my friend about his car. Can someone help come online and make fun of his Mustang? And I got the specs on the Mustang, and I saw some pictures of it, and I turned the pictures over to the gang, and they helped me come up with a few lines to try to roast him gently about his Mustang. And then what happened, Fred?
Well, I will say that, first of all, thank you for making that subreddit. I like that. I'm glad that we kind of dove into that a little bit and found that out. But yeah, I saw Nick's post because he's not very discreet. So I saw that and I was like, I'm going to find a way to reverse prank. I'm going to say I sold the car. I'm going to come up with something. And I don't know. I don't know if Nick got a little shy during the interview or what happened, but he didn't really get there. So I kind of brought up that I saw the post and kind of shut it down. But I got to say, Mickey, your liners were amazing. Do you still have those? Because those one-liners, they were good.
I, one of the things I was going to say is, well, at least I don't drive a what was it, a 2004 Mustang TT?
Yeah, 2015.
2015, my bad. So yeah, 2015 Mustang. And then Ben had a great line, which I used, which was, I bet those underbody lights are getting him laid all over town. And yeah,
it was
and
awesome.
And the reality is it's a beautiful car. It's a very nice, well-kept, slick car. And but yeah, we did not get a chance to do the full gently roasting thing. And Fred completely surprised us in that he knew about the alleged prank already. So you know, let's talk about the Mustang. Did you pick that car specifically for it being the Mustang, or how did you come across it?
I'm actually really glad that you asked that, Maggie, because it's like I said, my grandfather ran open wheel modifieds, like I said, in New England. Big Ford guy. He had a Ford F, I think it was 250 black, my entire life. Every 4 years, 5 years, when that loan was up, he'd get another one. And it was just brand loyalty, which some people are really big about, some people really aren't. So that was kind of a unique take. And I'd be curious to see your guys' input on that. But my mom, actually, one of her first cars was a Mustang. They bounced around from Camaros. And obviously, as my brother was born, they kind of got more functional along the way, but always entertained that way. They've had Hummers. I've driven their Mercedes. They've bounced around and I've really had an opportunity to drive a lot of vehicles. But recently, I want to say maybe 5-6 years ago, my mom stumbled across a GT500 convertible, and it was 2012. Gorgeous car, all red with the black stripes. Through a friend of theirs, they got a great deal on it. And when they moved south, they couldn't get a loan on a home unless they got rid of that because it was such an exorbitant payment. So she ended up getting rid of that. She was really upset about it. And I ended up working at Volkswagen when I moved down south. And a kid turned in a 2015 Mustang in the ruby red, like more of the maroon color. And he did everything on the stage 2 suspension. I mean, the exhaust was all done and everything tuned. It was just gorgeous. And I brought it to my parents at a restaurant they were eating at. Cause they were like, no cars. I'm like, no, you need to see this one. So I brought it out to him and my dad's like, okay, you can run the numbers. And I was like, all right, it sounds like a plan. Yeah. But she's had that car forever. And it just, they've had multiple vehicles, so they don't run high mileage. We use it on nice trips. And we go out every now and then, 6-speed manual transmission, gorgeous car. And I was like, I want something like that. And when it came across my path, I got one. So I have the same thing. And it's a base GT, but it's a 2015 as well, relatively low mileage. And I was like, this is it. This is the one I wanted.
Very cool. And how does it drive?
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. I learned a lot through the car community, which I find really cool. I love going out and meeting people through that avenue. But I did throw a little bit wider tires on the back. Nothing crazy, no drag slicks, anything like that. But I was actually dumbfounded at how well it handled. I never realized that it would actually grip and handle as well as it did, even over an inch and a half on either tire in the back. But it is one of my favorite cars to drive. It's the power is amazing. It's smooth. It sounds great. I mean, it's just an amazing car.
I'm surprised to hear you describe it as smooth. The one thing I've heard about Mustangs is that they're fast and they're somewhat nimble, but I've heard the ride can be kind of rough.
It can be. My mom's, like I said, has that lower suspension. She's a lot closer to the ground. She can barely clear a Wendy's cup. I know, because she's blown one up in front of me, just ran that sucker right over. but yeah, I mean, when it's closer to the ground, you feel every bump, you feel everything, but it definitely glues as well. So if you want their performance, it's kind of give and take. But yeah, I mean, mine, I haven't lowered in any capacity. Which mostly, I mean, you come up towards the Virginia, you start getting a little bit more north. They have those divots from road to driveway. And I was like, I'm not taking that gamble. I kind of left mine at stock height, but yeah, I mean, I get a little bit more flexibility in the bumps, but I think it's relatively smooth in comparison.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Like I said, it's an impressive car and I've been lately thinking about, the convertible thing myself, and Mustang's definitely on the list. If I ever make any serious money again, then that may have to be an acquisition. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you mind me asking, like, what kind of got you guys into this avenue? I mean, I know I've gotten to talk to you, Mickey, but kind of from the board's perspective around the table, what kind of brought you guys to this central
idea? We were having a party at Mary's house, and she said to us that, can you guys fix my art car? And and we went out there and sprayed it with like hot pink Plastidip and glitter. And I'm just making shit up. I just
you are, but it's a good story, so we'll go with it.
The sad thing is actually it is plausible.
It is beyond. The only thing is that it's not my house.
We filled the tires with easy cheese.
It's the garage, right. Mahal.
Ben, how did we get this thing started?
Well, a long time ago, oh goodness, I forget what year it was, but it's been 5 or 6 years. You called me one day and said, hey, I know a junkyard that's about to close. Do you want to go look at it? I said, sure. And we went to, it wasn't a very big one, and it had a lot of old rusty cars. I actually still had some things from the 50s in there that were way too far gone to be any good to restore or even take parts off of for anybody. And we're walking around just wistfully looking at all this stuff. It's just seems almost like art, the way all this rust is draped over the landscape. And I believe at one point during a lull, you just kind of turned to me and said, hey, let's do a podcast about cars.
and Ben said, I already have the name for it. And that was hit. That was history right there.
Well, I didn't have the name that fast, but I basically said, okay. I kind of shrugged and said, all right, well, it's another one of his crazy ideas. I'll go along for the ride. And here we are all these years later.
Right. And what happened was, you know, and he's right. That was exactly how it happened. We went out to go look at the scrapyard. Virtually everything in that scrapyard was completely not restorable. And yet we just kept talking. We just kept talking and talking and talking about cars and car issues and car history. We went to lunch and we kept on talking. I think from my perspective, I finally looked at my watch and it said 2 p.m. We had started at something like 9 or 10 a.m. that morning. And I'm like, Ben, these are great conversations. We should record these. And that's where the whole thing, that's where the whole thing started. So, one of the first things we did was to try to differentiate ourselves from most of the other car podcasts is to make sure we had a woman with us on mic for every show we've done. And we've succeeded in doing that. We have a number of great friends that we get to work with. Mary in particular has dirt on all of us. So, we make sure that she gets enough mic time, right, Mary?
Absolutely. Dave more than the rest of you, but yes.
Yeah. Actually, for this episode, Mary is playing all of the women who have ever appeared on the show. You will be playing Dawn, Misty, Rebecca, Amanda, Mickey's mom, Ben's cat, and Sister Edmund Murray.
And you forgot the Mardi Gras float.
I'm sorry. And Libby Williams, the human equivalent of a Mardi Gras float.
So, Mary, I got a question about the Mardi Gras float. But mm-hmm. first, I want to talk to Nick about his Porsche. Nick, how did you come by the Porsche?
So, I've always really been into the 80s. I don't know why. Like, I love 80s movies. I just love 80s music, 80s everything. So, I was just started looking for a new car just for fun. And I came across a Porsche 944 and I was like, I really like how this car looks and it's pretty affordable because I've had it for 5 years now. So it's pretty affordable for someone in their younger 20s. So I was like, let me try to find one, looking online through eBay. And I found one that was a steal. It was only $3,500, only 55,000 miles on it. Nothing wrong with it. So it was only 4 hours away from me. So I drove up there. Test drove it and I loved it. So I bought it and I've had it ever since. I love the thing. It has no power steering since it's so old. I love the no power steering. I just love how it looks, everything about it.
Wait, you drove 4 hours to test drive a car?
So I purchased it on eBay, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was 4 hours away from me. So me and my dad went up there and I had never driven one of these before. I didn't know how it was going to be. And actually when I did test drive it, it was actually pretty bad because for some reason the AC was on full blast and the car is just shaking up and down. And I was like, well, I drove 4 hours all the way out here. And I guess I had a look in my face. Like, I didn't really like it. So the person even bumped it down $500 when I bought it. But yeah. So I started driving it home and turned the AC off and I was like, oh, this is great.
That was different. That's cool.
Yeah,
I love the 944. I think they're good looking cars. I think they're sharp. Have you done anything to it? Is it completely stock? Do you take it out and open her up at all? What's the story?
So I haven't actually done anything to it, but apparently, I think I'm the fourth owner of it, and the very first owner apparently used. I don't know how true this is, but apparently it used to be an undercover cop car. Because. In the middle of the dashboard, there's these, I don't know if it's normal on 944, but there's three switches. One of them's for the antenna, but the other two are, you can turn off the back lights of the car. So you have no lights on the back, and you can turn off the front lights of the car, even with the, because it has the pop-up lights. You could even turn those off while it's popped up. So it kind of sounds plausible that could have been an undercover cop car.
That is pretty cool. I wonder if you guys had any like drug deals or, you know, murder attempts in your backseat or something. There's no real murder. There's no backseat in that thing, is there?
I was about to say there are backseats, but like I had a friend sit back there one time and he said it was horrible. His legs were cramped. Yeah. No one's ever been back there since.
Yeah.
Yeah, the back seat of that car would be useful if you're going to whack like a quadruple amputee. Yeah.
Even then, that's a little still squished.
Yeah, even then, you know, you're going to have to fold them to get them in there.
I think that's the kind of rear seat that's only present for insurance purposes in certain countries.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yep. That's right. So that's cool. How fast does she go?
So as you know, it's old, it has no airbags. So the only fastest I think I've got is like 110. And then I'm like driving, I'm like, you know, if I crash, I'm just instantly obliterated, no chance of survival. So
yeah.
So I haven't gone too fast, but I think, it's like 139. That's what the manufacturer says as fast it can go.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
But it's only a 4-cylinder, so not super fast.
No, that's cool. I only have 2 questions, which is, is the engine holding up? Has anything gone wrong with it? And the second question is, what have you learned in your own readings and research about the Porsche? What kinds of recommendations would you make to folks who might have one or are thinking about getting one?
So luckily for me so far, knock on wood, nothing has gone wrong with it. Just the occasional like little like thing where like the light wouldn't pop up for a second. You just gotta like bang on it and then it pops up. And then so mine's been fine, but what I've heard from other people and like seen is apparently, which hasn't happened to mine yet, but it can have a lot of electrical problems with a Porsche 944. So I have noticed I have like one little light in my back that's been out and I haven't been able to get it back on. So I hear that is that's really the only downside of it. But otherwise, it's a great car. Looks really good. I mean, it moves pretty good for a 4-cylinder. I mean, if you wanted to go fast, I do have a turbo, I'm pretty sure, as well.
Yeah.
I don't have the turbo model, but...
Yeah. No, that's sweet. That's sweet. I hope you get a lot of enjoyment out of that for a long time.
I do.
Yeah. So, you guys, Ben, Mary, any more questions for our guests before we get into our normal set of guest questions? We have 4 standardized questions that we ask all of our guests. You know, I have one more thing I want to ask you, but let me turn the table to the gang first to see if they have anything else to ask you guys.
Well, I have heard that that the 4-cylinder Porsches can be quite troublesome to live with, but you know, your mileage may vary. It probably, you know, from car to car, I'm sure there's a lot of difference depending on how well kept they are and things like that. And of course, to blow my own horn a little bit, if you like those 80s high-end cars, I used to have a 1986 Lotus Turbo Esprit.
Wow.
That, yeah, which, you know, I got for like used Civic money. I don't know how many people had owned it before me. I do know where all it had gone, but it was kind of the same thing. Lots of fun to drive. It was much more demanding maintenance wise, but, you know, you just can't beat those 80s sports cars. There's just something about them. Yeah. I sold it, you know, 6 years ago, I think, but, you know, yeah, it's a blast. It was a blast. And I hope you're getting at least as much of a blast out of the Porsche.
Oh, I am. I love just putting the windows down and blasting 80s music, just like on my time.
Yeah.
So what you guys don't know about Ben is, Ben is something of a, I was about to say shade tree mechanic, and that's not right. He's way, way better than that. he gets his hands on a car and he sort of takes it apart and puts it back together again. Right. Makes sure everything is working properly. If you ever buy a used car from Ben, you know you're getting something that has been really well kept.
I'm a dang
moldy girl. It's like the automotive equivalent of Dr. Phil.
I'm a dank moldy garage mechanic.
There you go. That's right. So my thing before we get to our guest questions is you guys are famous for your ranch versus ketchup question.
This ought to be fun.
Yes. I was hoping you'd bring that up. Yeah, we got quite the round table here. We got to throw that around. Guys, I'm going to take the liberty from Mickey here. Ranch or ketchup? I want to hear from everybody. What do we got?
I'm Southern. It's ranch.
Yeah. Why is there no mayonnaise option?
Or comeback sauce?
That's a fair question. Fair question. We kept it basic. We kept it basic. Split road, one or the other. That's it.
I'm sorry. That's like that's like, you know, a murder suicide pact. Which end do you want to be on?
Well,
so Dave, which is it, ranch or ketchup?
Ranch under duress.
Ben, while he's coming back, what is it, ranch or ketchup?
Well, it depends on the context, I suppose. But that said, if ketchup will work on it, then barbecue sauce will probably work better.
and Mary, you said something about the comeback sauce. What's that?
Okay, so I guess I'm the only true Southerner of the group. comeback sauce is exceptionally Southern, but it's basically not unlike a combination of ketchup and ranch.
Wait, really?
Mayo.
Yeah.
I think I've seen it once somewhere.
Interesting.
I know I have too. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Dave, you were saying you would pick ranch under duress?
Under duress, yes. First of all, you know, growing up in the Midwest, there is a sense that ketchup is the condiment for kids. And so at some point, like if you're having hot past ketchup to more sophisticated flavors.
Nick, what was your preferred favorite here?
Mine was ketchup. I'm a ketchup guy.
Yeah.
So I'm quite sad to see no one take my side.
Well, you know, it's too bad Misty's not here because she could tell us all about that curry ketchup that they have in Europe.
Yeah, they're
curry ketchup. Yeah. Curry ketchup is delicious.
There's a variety of spiced ketchups. If you guys are ever near an Indian grocery store, there's some, and some of them are really good, actually. But I'll defend Nick. This is a really hard choice, and it certainly depends on the application. But if someone handed me a pile of French fries and said ranch or ketchup, I'm probably picking the ranch. I'm sorry, Nick.
Oh, so. Man. Wow, I have to go, guys. Nice joining you. Mm-hmm. I have to go get some ketchup.
Now, out of curiosity, Mickey, if someone handed you a big pile of salad, ranch or ketchup?
Well, and again, to Nick's defense, I have been known to grab ketchup when we're out for fries and just doctor it, right? I'll put like pepper and stuff in it and then use that on my fries. And that stuff is awesome. People look at me funny when I do it, but if I put the pepper in my fries, that's just a whole different level of ketchup to me. So I'm a big fan of that.
Mickey, I just want to throw it out there. I mean, I know this kind of answers Dave a little bit too. Like why? But Nick had a ketchup obsession as a kid. And as I got older, I developed it's specifically Hidden Valley, mm-hmm. which I won't get into, but it just kind of bloomed. And like, that was one of the first things that we approached on our first episode. And we literally ask every guest that comes on our show that question. And we've literally, over the 60 shows we've had, I think we've had probably a handful of interviews, 5, 6, maybe more. And it's a legit split decision. So it is absolutely a hot topic. And I appreciate you letting us ask the table here today.
There was a festival here in Atlanta one time that was sponsored by Hidden Valley. And we were there in the last hour of it. And they were just trying to get rid of product. And so my partner brought home a box of 200 packets of Hidden Valley ranch dressing.
Wow.
I'm so jealous.
We learned to fry chicken in it. We learned to make eggs with it. I think there was a recipe for a monostat replacement that could be used.
Oh, my.
That's also something I didn't really want to think about this morning, Dave.
Any automotive uses?
Well, everybody's on that E-fuel.
That's it. That is exactly right. All right. So I've got three questions for you both, and then one random question that's just completely silly and unpredictable. Question for both of you. What is your dream car? Nick, why don't you take that one first?
I think I'll have to go with a Porsche 911.
Any particular year model?
Any of them. I mean, they all look good. I do like the 80s ones, actually, with the big whale tail.
Yeah.
I would say a newer one, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they're beautiful cars. Fred, what about you?
I mean, I think we all knew this was coming, but mine's a 67 Fastback. I mean, it could be the Bullet, it would be the Bullet, but those things, they don't make them like they used to.
Too bad our friend Becca's not here. She would love to be involved in this conversation. I think Becca runs a little Facebook page called The Mustang Room, and she has almost a savant ability with Mustangs. I've seen her quote part and part number according to your model of Mustang. And so if you say, I need an air filter for a 1993, blah, 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 she'll say, oh, that's 67A942Q. And, you know, I'm like, how do you know this stuff? But anyway, all right. My second question for you both, where is your next road trip going to be?
Ooh, I'll, Nick, you wanted this one? What do you want to
do? I would say my next road trip probably be go visit Fred in Virginia Beach. So that's like a 10-hour drive. So that's pretty far.
There's a lot of visuals on that too. George Washington Bridge, you go through Jersey, and then I think the Delaware Bridge is pretty nice. Like, you get a lot of visuals on that trip too, taking that one straight down.
That's cool. What about you, Fred? Where are you going to go?
They do this thing, actually, if you guys are ever in the Carolinas, I'll recommend this to you as well. There's a thing called the Tale of the Dragon. It's out in, I'm sure if you're a car enthusiast, you've heard of it at some point, but it's out, and I'm trying to think, Blue Ridge Parkway, I believe it's called, out in the western North Carolina. But it's like wicked tight turns, and it's very actually quite dangerous out there. But they do Mustang runs. I have a friend of mine's dad who owns a Hyundai Veloster, and their group goes. I know Mini Coopers that go out there. I mean, everybody goes, and I want to check that out really bad. So I think that might be my next.
You know, Mary's done it in a bicycle.
Really?
Here's some advice. Go on a, if you go to the Tale of the Dragon, go on a Wednesday.
Why a Wednesday? Can I ask, Ben? What's up?
Because it is such a highly overrated and overhyped area that all the idiots show up on weekends.
And it just gets rowdy.
Yeah, it's just so insane on Saturdays and Sundays. And it spills over into Mondays and Fridays, people taking long weekends. Honestly, Wednesday's the safest day to go. And also, honestly, there are a lot of other roads in that area that are just as good, but don't have the name and hype around them, and you'll have those to yourself.
All right. You're going to have to add me on Facebook after this show, because I need to know about those hidden tricks. But
I've done this one on a motorcycle in the Lotus I used to have, and I think even a rental car once.
Mary's done it in 2.5 seconds on a motorcycle. I mean, on a bicycle.
Yeah.
She was not actually touching the ground for most of that.
That is an impressive feat.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're believing everything this man says. Okay, then.
Yeah, the most impressive thing I ever saw on the tail was a lumber truck, believe it or not.
Really?
I was on my motorcycle. I was off the North Carolina, and I just gassed up and was about to go back the way I'd come. And as I'm about to pull out of the gas station, one of these lumber trucks, you know, the two-axle kind, flatbed, like F-650 or something, stacked up in the back with roof trusses and pieces of ventilation duct and stuff like that, turns onto the road, and went, oh man, I got to follow this guy. How long is he going to take to get through? Should I just hop off the bike and have a burger and wait or something? Then I thought, well, no, I'm not hungry. I've got nothing really to do. So I got on behind him, and I was glad I did, because yeah, this guy must drive that truck through there all the damn time, because that is a real thoroughfare for people who live up there. You know, that's a way, if that road is blocked, it's hours to go around another way. So, you know, this truck driver probably knew it, you know, better than the back of his hand, and he maintained a pretty respectful clip for a truck full of lumber. And he knew at every moment exactly where to put each wheel. It was so much fun to watch from right behind him.
Oh, it's a wildly, wildly narrow and twisty road, and that is impressive in itself. I'm assuming you don't have any video of that. I have to ask.
No, of course not. But tell you what, if you're ever down in North Georgia, I know some roads down here you'd really love too. There's one called the Wolfpen Gap Road that is just out of this world.
All right, Fred, what's the most fascinating thing you've ever seen on the road or in someone's garage?
Ooh, fascinating.
It could be a landmark. It could be a vehicle. It could be, I don't know, a toy, anything.
I think, you know, I'm gonna get a little beat up on this one if I get it wrong, but one of my dad's childhood friends, and this might have set it in motion, to be honest with you. When we were kids, we'd go out there. It was a road where he used to grow up, and it was his friend Joe, and he had, I want to say, same era, and this is why it just gets me, 60 something Camaro, and he had that thing in that midnight metallic purple, and he dragged it locally, so it had the wide tires on it. It was all modded out. I never had a chance. Now, I was young, so I didn't get to really, you know, pick his brain as much as I'd love to. I'm sure he still has it too. Just babied it, sat in the garage when he wasn't on the track. It was garage. And that had to be the most amazing looking car. I mean, flawless paint. It just looked like an absolute, it sits in my brain. Just sits there. I just love that car.
That's cool. What about you, Nick?
I just got to say, one time when I was driving on the road, I saw like a legit replica of the mystery machine from a Scooby-Doo. It was like completely painted and looked just like it. I thought that was crazy.
I wanted to do one of those. I thought about getting a van and doing one of those. And my wife's like, no, don't do that. That's overdone. I said, well, how about the A-team van instead? And she's like, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So, so one random question for each of you, different question for each of you. Nick, does pineapple belong on pizza?
No.
Okay.
No.
Very definitive. No, there, no hesitation at all.
Ketchup, on the other hand?
Yeah.
Ketchup, does that belong on a pizza?
More than pineapple, I'll say that.
No, does ketchup belong on pineapple?
No. I'll give you that. No.
Okay, so he is not quite the zealot we thought he was.
No.
Ted Bundy, Nick Salah. Close. It's right there.
That's pretty good. Nick, is there any kind of weird food that you eat that other people don't appreciate?
Probably. All right. Probably I like putting ketchup on mashed potatoes. I don't do it as much anymore now that I'm older, but when I was younger, yes. Ketchup on mashed potatoes.
I'm not going to judge. I knew a guy who literally used to make and eat ketchup sandwiches.
Okay. I didn't go that far.
Yeah.
My mother would put them on scrambled eggs.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's even weirder is mustard on scrambled eggs, but it works. Ooh. Yeah. Mary's never going to talk to me again, I think. Fred, my random question for you is, let's take this one. The zombie apocalypse has begun. You have an SUV and a baseball bat. Where's the first place you're going to go?
Ooh, where's the first place I'm going to go? This is right. I know I'm kind of just wrapping it all into the whole car theme, but I want to go to a racetrack and then just hope they're on there and just kind of, you know, just go ripping around. I got a weird side story though, because you opened with an SUV and a baseball bat. My dad, like I said, they had the H3 Hummer for their business, but they also had an H2. And one of their bars, there's a loading dock in the back that's like pitched down like this for the trailer. And we parked into it nose first. And this is right after I got my license. I'd be like 17. And my dad was letting me take it home. So I put it in reverse and I put my, you know, this is back before reverse cameras. So you put your, you know, hand on the other end and you look back. And it was in drive. So I smashed it right into the cement loading dock, but it did nothing. It pushed the bar back a quarter of an inch. No one would have known I even did anything. So I just got out of there and moved on with my life. But that thing could run through a building and I'm fully convinced of it. So that's all I need. The SUV and I'm in a Speedway and I'm good to go.
That's very cool.
You know, I'm waiting for the day you ask somebody this question. You have an SUV and a ball bat. Where's the first place you go? And they say a date.
It's a very unique person right there.
Hey, you know, priorities. I'm not going to judge.
That's one of these questions. Nick, he has certain of these questions that he asks the guests, and I just sit here and say, oh, please, God, don't wind up with a lawsuit.
No, me and Nick signed the waiver before we came on.
Yeah.
We're all good.
So, thanks you guys for being our guests for today. Really appreciate it. Hope you'll stick around for the rest of the episode and have a shot at this trivia question with us. But I had one thing that a friend of mine brought up recently, just in a regular conversation. It had something to do with spiders and cars. And apparently there was a recall that a car company had to do a recall because of spiders in their cars. So I did some research and figured out what it was. Does this ring a bell for anybody? Does anyone remember? I remember now, once I researched this, I remembered hearing about it when it first happened. But does anyone want to take a shot at what that actually was?
Well, I don't know if it's the same thing, but I did hear of some issues with, and I'm scratching my head to remember if it was a Ford product or a Chrysler product that was being assembled in, or at least the dashboards were being made in Mexico, and spiders were getting in them there. And then like during the train ride, apparently up to the United States, and during the final assembly process, it was enough of a jolt that they woke up and jumped out at the assembly workers.
Man, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, I don't have any verification on this. It's just something that sticks in memory from some years ago. I don't remember where I heard it.
There's one that I remember because that truck plagued Mazda, because we had a Mazda at the time, that there was a certain species of spider that could love the smell of gasoline and so would get into the tank and weave webs that would block like the fuel line or the vent line or something like that
Mary, can you just, you unmuted, so I was wondering if you had a thought on this.
Just the visceral creepiness of the idea of driving a car with spiders in it. And I'm generally not that girly a girl that would, you know, if I'm not enclosed in a car with them, I'm kind of okay with them. But
This is the sequel to Snakes on a Plane.
Exactly. Spiders under the dashboard.
Spiders in a Sentra.
There is an incident I witnessed once, though, that was pretty scary for the guy it happened to at the moment. This was back when I was in the Army. I had a buddy who wanted to restore an old vehicle, and we found a 1949 Ford F1 pickup rotting in a field next to a gas station just outside the back gate of our base. And there were actually two of them out there, and he talked the guys at the gas station into selling him one of them. We went down there on a Saturday one day and basically pieced together one worthwhile truck out of the two. And of course, the guys who owned the place were pissed when they caught us doing that. But one of the things that my friend did was we're pulling off the brake drums to check them, and he pulls one of the rear drums open, and he's sitting Indian style on the ground. He pulls the brake drum open, and, you know, big old brown recluse jumps out into his lap. Of course, I pulled the front drum off, and I'm not sitting quite as close, but when I pulled the front drum off, it had a fire ant nest inside it. Mm. Somehow we both avoided getting, you know, bitten or stung.
Yeah. Neither of those sounds like a pleasant day to me.
No,
but we about jumped out of our jeans.
Yeah.
No kidding. And I had a Honda Accord once that was my second encounter with ants. I had an Accord hatchback at 83, and I remember I left the rear seat folded down for about 3 months in a row one time. And when I unfolded it because someone needed to ride back there, an ant nest had formed. I don't know how, because I never left, you know, food wrappers in the car or anything, but they got in there.
It only takes one French fry with the right amount of ketchup then.
I guess so, yeah.
Whereas ranch dressing is a major insect repellent in cars.
And ranch wins again.
There you go.
I'm not gonna lie, guys, I've never seen that on the bottle, and I'm a little they should put that on there as a marketing ploy.
It'll be a disclaimer now: does not repel ants.
Here's the spoiler alert, though: when we make the sequel to Snakes on a Plane, Bugs in the Sentra, Samuel L. Jackson is going to defeat the spiders with, you know, Hidden Valley Ranch.
And Dave has his next, play to write.
His next play to write. I would pay to see that movie. That would be good. So the answer, the reality is Dave is right. It was Mazdas. I don't think it was the trucks that originally got recalled. I think it was a Mazda 6 series that got recalled specifically in Japan first, because yellow sac spiders were attracted to the smell of petrol, and they would do exactly that. They would somehow find their way into the tank via like an evap canister or something. And they would weave webs in there that would gum up the fuel lines. So to solve this problem, Mazda actually recalled all of them and did a software update, not even a hardware update, but a software update apparently fixed it so that in shutting the car down, there would be less gas fumes to attract the spiders. And so, it's Mazda with spiders. And this was a big thing. I can't remember when it was, but it was like 2010, 2015, that kind of time frame when they discovered that these yellow sac spiders were becoming a serious problem that would prevent Mazdas from running. So it wasn't even in the cabin, right? You weren't in your car and all of a sudden there was like six spiders on your arms, nothing like that. It was in the tank and it was stopping the cars. So anyway, that's our extra bit of sort of trivia for today. Let's wrap the show, shall we, and answer our grand trivia auto question?
Let's shall.
Yeah.
Let's do it. So the question was, on the current generation of the Honda Accord, there's a rectangular opening in the grill that has this thing in it that senses a number of different things. It's either adaptive cruise control, it's either lane keeping assist, it's a traffic sign recognition system, a road departure mitigation system, a collision mitigating braking system, or all of the above. Fred, Nick, why don't you take your first guess on this?
I'm going to have to go with all of the above. I've taken plenty of tests in my day, and all of the above is always the answer.
What do you think?
I'm going to come at it with a different reasoning. I worked at Volkswagen for a little bit there back in 2015, and most of their newer stuff was the autonomous braking, the collision alert. So most of that sounds right. I don't know how I feel about the traffic sign one, but when I'm on edge, I pull the Nixal when I go with all the above. So that's right. Got it. I'm going
all the above. Mary, what do you think? Is it any one specific thing or what?
I am more suspicious of the sign reading capability. So I'm going to go with A because that's the most logical for the adaptive cruise, which my Audi has. And I know I've got a center sensor. So I'll go with that one.
Adaptive cruise control. Dave, how about you?
You know, the funny thing is I think I remember reading an article that Honda had a experimental traffic sign recognition system.
Hmm.
So, you know what? Just for grins and tickles, I'm going to go with the traffic sign recognition system because I think it was C. And instead of going with all of the above, I was going with C if I don't know the answer.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's actual some statistical validity to making that choice. It's sure. Kind of, yeah. Ben, last but not least, Ben, what do you think?
Oh, let's see. I think I agree with Mary on this one. And I've got a little bit of anecdotal inclination to back that up.
Right. And which is what exactly?
Well, there are a lot of cars that put a center-mounted radar sensor right there in the middle of the grill. In fact, that kind of cramps the styling on a lot of them. But you know, they're mostly there for either collision avoidance or you know, following distance. And in fact, one of the reasons I'm keenly aware of this is the ones in some of the rental cars I've been driving, most notably Nissan products. That radar sensor on them tends to be very confused by rain.
Okay. So turn that off in the rain is what you're saying.
Or even by warped plastic on the trim that covers it. Yeah, I did actually, whip out my phone and spend several minutes trying to find a rental car company location to trade this freaking car in because I couldn't use cruise control on a long trip. Because the plastic over that radar sensor was a little warped and it was freaking it out.
That would frustrate me to no end. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the answer to this question, is it adaptive cruise control? Is it lane keeping assist? Is it a traffic sign recognition system? Is it a road departure mitigation system, which I don't think anyone picked that one? Or is it collision mitigation braking system? The answer is, in fact, it is all of the above. So our guests, Fred and Nick, nailed it, all of the above. Congratulations, you guys. You got Grand Trivia Auto for the day. Tell us again about the name of your podcast, Full Circle with Fred and Nick, and how do people find it?
I'll let Nick close us out. Go ahead and tell you, Nick.
Oh, yeah. We're Full Circle with Nick and Fred. You can find us on Instagram at full.circlepodcast. We're also on Facebook. Just look up Full Circle with Nick and Fred. And yeah, we're on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you got podcasts.
That's awesome. It's good stuff. You guys were a ton of fun when I was a guest on your show, and you've been a ton of fun guesting with us today. So thank you for taking the time. I can't wait to get this episode live.
Greatly appreciate it. Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, thank you for having us on.
And thanks to everybody who listens to us. If you like the thing about cars, please find us in the same places, actually, and give us a shout out, give us a thumbs up, give us a like or a review even on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, wherever you find the show. We appreciate your feedback. And if you don't like the show, we are otherwise known as Wait, Don't Tell Me. So is there anything else you guys that you can think of before we wrap up?
You know what? I'm going to go back and say, this sauce that Mary just discussed, I Googled it online. It is really a viable alternative for ranch and ketchup.
Comeback sauce.
Comeback
sauce. Okay, we all have some research to do. We're going to come back next week and talk about comeback sauce. So, all right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will catch you with another episode of The Thing About Cars in about a week. Be safe. Take care.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.